Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Atijari Wafa Bank FY 2013 results conference call on the 25th of March 2014. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the conference, please press star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I'll now hand the conference over to Elena Sanchez. Please go ahead, madam.
Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. This is Elena Sanchez, banks analyst from EFG Hermes. I would like to welcome you all to Atijari Wafa Bank 2013 results conference call, which EFG Hermes is co-hosting today together with Atijari Wafa Bank. On the line from Atijari Wafa Bank's management team, we have Mr. Mohamed El-Ketani, Chairman and CEO, Mr. Omar Bonjour, Co-CEO, Mr. Ismail Douiri, Co-CEO, and Mr. Boukher Jay, Co-CEO of Atijari Wafa Bank. The call will start with a presentation by management, followed by a Q&A session. I will hand over the call now to Mr. Mohamed El-Ketani. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Mohamed El-Ketani, Chairman and CEO of Atijari Wafa Bank. You are welcome to our results presentation 2013. Mr. Ismail Douiri, Co-CEO, will make a presentation for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and good morning, good afternoon to everyone. I assume you all received already the presentation that was sent yesterday night or this morning. I will go through the presentation with a focus more on the banking industry in Morocco and our figures rather than the macro presentation, although it is very relevant, of course. It's just in short summary on the macro section. What is really to keep in mind is that general growth in Africa was down in 2013, but not in our main geography, namely Morocco, where we had a growth of 4.5% versus 2.7% the previous year, and in Senegal, where growth was at 4.0% versus 3.5% in 2012. The only exception would be Tunisia, where growth slowed down at 2.7% versus 3.6%. The other thing to note is that in Morocco, growth was driven mostly by a good agricultural year, whereas the rest of the economy was growing much slower. This is an important thing to keep in mind in order to understand what happened to the loan growth last year, but also in order to project next year's growth, 2014. Regarding inflation, we were in a rather low inflation environment in all our geographies, but it's edging up in the two main markets of Morocco and Tunisia. In Morocco, inflation in 2012 was 1.9% versus 1.3% the previous year, and it's expected to continue growing at 2.5% in 2014, whereas in Tunisia, it was at 6.0% versus 5.6% the previous year. In Senegal, it was rather stable at the low level of 1.2%. Now, if we were to really focus on one major element in the macro section, it would be in particular on page six that summarizes the trends in the yield, in the bond yield market, where following many consecutive years of budget deficits related to the crisis in Europe and the Arab Spring, and related also to the policy of the government that used the budget to smooth the impacts and the effects of those elements on the economy. So following all these trends, we've had a progressive shift up of the yield curve, and you have a representation of their level in 2011. It was a rather flat yield curve edging between 3.37% at 13 weeks to 4.5% at 20 years. and then progressively edging up with a particular rapid movement in 2013, with impacts ranging between 30 and 60 basis points on all the yield curve. I think the 20-year point is not relevant on the red curve that you have for 2013. So, of course, this has had an effect not only on trading, but also on our cost of financing in the market, and on the cost of term deposits for large corporates. And then one quick word on the stock market that remained at a very low level in terms of volumes, with the volumes only growing by 1.8%, and with a negative performance of the stock price index, with a negative minus 2.6%. I think this is pretty much a quick summary of what happened in terms of macroeconomic environment, and you have all details in your presentation, with only one mention, which is that on slide 5 there are some slight figure mistakes that we will correct after the conference call, and we'll send you a new version. Now, more particularly on the banking industry in Morocco, you have, starting page 9, a short description on what happened to this industry. First element is really a sharp slowdown in loan growth in 2013, with only 3% growth in loans. And we'll see later that even the traditional growth engines of loans in Morocco have edged down. And then a more traditional, I would say, slow growth in customer deposits. And for the first time in recent years, it's in line with the growth of loans, because our external accounts did not suffer as much as the previous years, thanks to a slowdown also in our imports. So this is one element, is really the slowdown in terms of volumes. Another main element is the rapid changes in regulation. We've had a new capital adequacy ratio of 9% minimum tier 1 and 12% total ratio that were put in place as of June 2013, instead of only 10% total aggregate ratio before that. And then we continued our discussion with the central bank in terms of putting in place the advanced approach of Basel II. And we also had to move to Basel III type of reporting that will start as of June 2014, and that addresses not only capital adequacy but also liquidity. Now, let's focus a little bit on the Basel III impacts in Morocco. Of course, the regulator complies with international regulation, but also puts in place some specific decisions in order to adapt the regulation to the context in Morocco, in addition to transitional periods that will go between this year and 2019. So on page 10, you have the minimum that were imposed now under Basel III. There is a minimum requirement for core Tier 1 of 8%, including a capital conservation buffer of 2.5% that will be used in a contracyclical way, but currently it's required. So they might loosen this up in the future in case there is a particular need or shock. And then there is the introduction of a new category named advanced additional Tier 1 of 1% for a total Tier 1 of 9%. And then they kept the last part, which is the Tier 2 part, at 3%, taking the minimum, the total minimum to 12%. The impacts, of course, are favorable for the core tier one part, because the 9% is replaced by an 8%. In addition to that, of course, we would need to issue a compliant instrument for this additional tier one of 1%. So we would not capture the 8% before issuing this additional tier one. Then there are some more technical impacts related to the way we compute our core tier one. One is related to instruments directly or indirectly funded by the bank. Another one is the deduction from our tier one in the bank perimeter reporting we use to deduct our holdings in financial institutions at 50% from tier one and 50% from tier two. Now we need to deduct the full 100% from core tier one. And then there is also an impact this time on the consolidated level reporting of the treatment of minority shareholders in the core tier one computation of the consolidated level. So a number of positive and negative elements, but also a roadmap for complete compliance by 2019 that was done in complete collaboration and discussion and simulations with all the banks. And I think we'll come to that a little bit later, but we currently don't see any need for additional capital for the foreseeable future, and I'll describe later the way we steer our capital base. Now, the other element that I talked about on the Moroccan banking sector is related to volume slowdown, and on slide 11, we split this low growth in loans in two parts. One is the retail loans, so mortgage loans and consumer loans, and the other one is basically the rest that we call corporate loans. And we see that, you know, until 2012, we were in double-digit growth areas for retail loans, and in 2013, it went down to 5%. And for corporate loans, we were already rather low in 2012, but we came to almost a complete stop in 2013, and this is, again, the figures for the whole industry. In terms of market share, and that is what you have on the right side of the graph, we were able to continue grabbing market share in retail loans, although with a slight slowdown in the second half of 2013, in particular because we raised the yields on some mortgages that we were offering. So we slowed down some of that growth. And then we were able, again, to continue consolidating or capturing market share on the corporate loans despite the already high level that we have. And then another big factor on the banking industry in Morocco is the cost of risk, or generally speaking, the degradation of the counterparty risk in Morocco. And we felt it was important to show you the long-term picture, and this is on slide 12, where the total industry saw the NPL ratio go down from almost 20% in 2004 to a low of 4.94 in 2011. This is both thanks to a rapid growth in loans that diluted a little bit the base, but also to a healthy economic activity, to the fact that many banks also wrote off their fully provisioned provisioned bad loans, etc. So we were in a general trend like that until 2011. And then we've seen a rebound for the whole industry. This is the red line, starting 2012. For us, for Atti Jari Wafa Bank, and this is just the bank in Morocco, we've always been at a lower level than competition. We controlled even the growth in 2012, while the total market was already seeing the NPLs growing. We were continuing to decrease that to a low level of 2.99. But then in 2013, we saw a rebound, mostly thanks or due to the macroeconomic environment in Morocco. We also gave you the latest figure of January 14, because we were not 100% sure of how our competitors were posting the NPLs as of the end of the year. And we thought that maybe January figure was a little bit more or a better picture and the confirmation of the trends that we were seeing as of end of 2013. Now, let's move to our consolidated financial statements as of December 31st. On page 14, you have most of the relevant figures, with total assets growing at 4.7%, net banking income growing at 4.9%, and net income group share decreasing by 8%, but only decreasing by 3.7% if we take out non-recurring elements, and we'll come to that a little bit later. We continued hiring and growing in terms of mostly distribution, main area of growth in our employees. This is 5.2% growth at 16,000 employees. And as I was saying, we continue growing our branches. Some of them are owned and others are in partnership with other owners. This is only true in Morocco for Wafa Cash, that develops almost two-thirds of its network distribution through partnerships. So a total of 3,200 branches that are able to sell more and more financial products, because we really have a multi-partnership or multi-channel approach to our branch network. We can answer questions if you have some around that. We only entered one new country in 2013, and that was Togo, where we closed a transaction involving 55% of BIA Togo as of September 2013. Now, we continued our traditional focus on efficiency by taking our cost-income ratio down to 44.46%, down by 61 basis points. And I think a little bit later we'll see a long-term vision of that ratio over a longer period of time. And we had, unfortunately, a significant increase in the cost of risk due mostly to Morocco, with an increase by 23 basis points of our cost of risk and an increase of our non-performing loans by 1.2 points. So at the consolidated level, our NPL level is at 6.3%. I remind you of the ratio in Morocco as of end 2013, and it was 4.29%. The ROE went down by 2.2 points, and the ROA went down by a fraction of a point at 1.3%. The the decrease in ROE is also due to a larger shareholders' equity base, resulting from a capital increase that we performed in 2013 through an optional conversion of the 2012 dividends into new shares that took place in July 2013. Generally speaking, we remain at rather high level of 15.4% in ROE. Now, on page 17, we took a longer-term view on both growth and some ratios, and we see the progressive decrease in net banking income growth over a long period of time. But in 2008 and 2009, it's worth noting that part of that growth was coming also from external growth. We also see that the efficiency ratio, the cost-income ratio, started inflating after we made the acquisitions of five banks at the same time from the Crédit Agricole of France in 2009. But also that once we transform the banks and once we are sure that we put in place all our procedures, we go back to a healthier control and decrease in the cost income, and this is what started to show already in 2013. We also see that the cost of risk has reached new levels, unfortunately, in 2013. We have traditionally been between 50 and 55 basis points, and for the first time in recent years, we reached a level of 71 basis points. And then we see that our ROA is rather stable, although slightly decreasing this year in 2013, but that the ROE has suffered progressively from the many capital requirements that we had from our central banks in recent history. Which takes me to the next slide about our capital adequacy ratio. And we see you have on the left side the RWA growth with the growth rate more focused in recent years on market risks, but that still represents a very small fraction of the total RWA base. We see also that we fully complied with the new capital requirements as of June 2013 because our core Tier 1 ratio that was reported was at 9.4%. The ratio as of December 13 has not yet been made public, but it will be on our website very soon, I think in the coming week, as we need to report it to the central bank by March 31st. And our total capital ratio was also above the 12% minimum at 12.5%. I would like to remind you of our policy in terms of managing our capital. We don't use the capital adequacy ratio as a way to manage our risks. We consider it as a requirement from our central bank. We always steer this capital with 12 to 18 month projections with our board, and we optimize the level so that we are always fully compliant but also maximize ROE. But we consider currently that we are even a little bit over-capitalized, not only because we had those 40 basis points above the minimum as of June 2013, but also because growth rates of our RWA have been a little bit lower than our previous projections, and thanks to a good negotiation with our central bank on the way Basel III will progressively affect us, so that the next moves will probably be in order to optimize our ratios versus raising additional capital. So no need for additional capital unless there is a major acquisition and that would need specific financing if and when it happens. Now, we also wanted to give you a broader perspective on the level of ratios. We keep on getting questions about the level and why we have such a low level, etc. And I think it's very important to understand our leverage. We gave you figures of the leverage of the three main banks in Morocco, and this is measured as of the total assets over equity on a consolidated basis. And we compared it to European banks that have been posting higher capital adequacy ratios than ours, which we feel is really important to understand. In our case, most of our risk is counterparty risk. We are not as leveraged, and sometimes with factors of two or over two, and we don't have access to any instruments in order to attenuate our risks. So, you know, a mechanical comparison in terms of total capital adequacy ratio is really for us not relevant. And again, we insist on the fact that we steer our capital only based on the capital requirement from the central bank, and that we manage our risks through careful selection of our loans and careful collection of our bad loans. So our Tier 1 is really of very good quality with no hybrid instrument. Our leverage ratio is much lower than any European bank and lower than at least one of the other Moroccan banks, large Moroccan banks. And the future is more to optimize the capital and improve the ROE than, on the contrary, to reinforce our capital base. These are the messages we wanted to send. Now, let's continue with by analyzing the different contributions to our net banking income and to our net profit. The proportions have slightly moved for net banking income thanks to different growth rates. And the international retail banking has gained a little bit more than 1 point, representing now 26% of our net banking income. And on the contrary, it went down for the banking activity in Morocco. Same kind of movement between the insurance and the specialized financial subsidiaries. In the case of the insurance, we had very good growth in the top line, thanks to good growth in premiums, but also a significant improvement in the claims as a proportion of premiums. Now, you have all the different growth rates, with, of course, the fastest growing contributors to net banking income being the international retail banking, growing by 11.1 points, and insurance growing by 17.2 points. As for the net income group share, the movement has been much sharper, with a decrease in the contribution of the banking in Morocco by 5.8 points. So it used to represent 62% of our net income group share previous year, and it was only 57% in 2013. And so you have all the different contributions. If we go to the growth of the different business lines, we see that the growth in the contribution of banking in Morocco to net income group share was negative, minus 16.5%. But there is one recurring element in that factor, is the IFRS treatment of the share ownership, the employee stock ownership program. It was issued in the middle of 2012, so the impact in 2012 of the discount was over 8 months, whereas it was over 12 months in 2013. So this is a non-recurring effect, because in 2014, again, it will have the same impact over a period of 12 months. So if we take out this non-recurring factor, the decrease would have been only by 14.4%, and it's mainly coming from the cost of risk in Morocco. We also see a negative contribution from the insurance in Morocco, and again, a non-recurring effect there, which is the settlement of a tax inspection of Wafa Assurance. Without this impact, we would have had a positive contribution to growth, or a growth of the contribution of the insurance by 3.5%. And then for the rest, it's, I would say, clean of any non-recurring effect, because even for international retail banking, the contribution of Togo is very small, and it's not worth noting. So the contribution there was or grew by almost 33%. Now, the cost of risk, we also split that by business lines, and the absolute figure grew by 53%. Its contribution coming from the Bank of Morocco grew by 126%, with the resulting cost of risk on the Morocco banking sector being at 0.86% versus 0.38%. And then another sharp movement is to be noted for international retail banking, because 2013 has been a very good year for collection of bad loans in Tunisia in particular. So we've had a negative cost of risk of 1 basis point, let's say zero. So a minus 103% of the contribution of international retail banking to the cost of risk. We also put here on slide 26 and 27 the contribution of the main blocks to net banking income and to net income group share. The biggest elements of our consolidation perimeter remain the insurance company, our bank in Tunisia, our consumer credit subsidiary, Wafa Salaf, and our largest subsidiary in Senegal, CBAO. And finally, the share price. We also plotted the performance over a longer period of time, where we see the outperformance of our stock, the regular outperformance, except in 2011, where our stock decreased by 14% versus 13% for the market. In 2013, we did not outperform, but we did not underperform, because our stock went down by 2.6%, the same level as the stock market index. Our valuation on page 13 remain the most favorable in the industry, with a PE of 15 times versus the 19 times for the sector. And also, if we take into account our proposal, or the board's proposal, to the General Assembly of raising the dividend from 9 dirham per share to 9.5 dirhams per share, our dividend yield currently stands at 3.11%. Thank you very much for your attention, and I think we're all here to answer your questions.
Thank you, sir. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Your questions will be polled in the order they're received, and there will be a short pause while participants register for a question. Our first question comes from Belinda Amor from CDC Group. Please go ahead with your question.
Okay, hello. It would be great to get your views on South Saharan Africa, where you think the growth areas are, opportunities, and some key challenges that your subsidiaries face within the Sub-Saharan African region. And also, do you have any third acquisition targets within Sub-Saharan Africa that you'll be looking at for 2014 and 2015? Thank you.
So we answer one by one then.
C'est en Afrique, c'est les opportunités qui se présentent, quels sont les challenges, et est-ce qu'on a des cibles d'acquisition dans les...
Excuse me, my English isn't very well. I speak in French and my colleague, Mr. Snaid, will translate for you. Le plan de développement régional des cinq dernières années a pris comme option de s'installer dans la région immédiate du Maroc, avec laquelle nous avons des liens historiques, politiques, et je dirais même socio-culturels extrêmement importants. Donc l'Afrique francophone, les pays du Maghreb, l'Afrique centrale et l'Afrique de l'Ouest. Durant ces années, donc, nos équipes ont travaillé très dur, et ça nous a permis de réaliser l'acquisition ou l'installation de notre marque au niveau de 12 pays, outre le Maroc, ça fait 13 pays. Et nous pensons que durant l'exercice 2014, nous terminerons notre installation dans les pays de l'Afrique de l'Ouest, parce qu'il nous reste uniquement le Bénin. Et nous avons obtenu un agrément bancaire pour démarrer à travers CBAO nos activités bancaires au Bénin avant la fin de cette année. Et il nous reste au niveau de l'Afrique centrale deux pays sur lesquels nous travaillons, la Guinée équatoriale et le Tchad. Le Centrafrique, la décision est différée maintenant pour les raisons que vous connaissez. Mais parallèlement à cela, nos équipes spécialisées étudient toutes les opportunités qui se présentent dans le cadre de la nouvelle mouture de notre plan de développement régional. Et là, nous sommes en train de prospecter de nouveaux territoires pour nous, l'Afrique lusophone et l'Afrique anglophone.
Okay, so over the five past years, we entered conforming or accordingly according to our strategy. We entered countries where we had very strong cultural and historical links. It was mainly, or they were mainly located in French-speaking and Arab-speaking countries or regions of Africa. We achieved a disciplined and systematic entry into 12 other African markets. So we are present in 13 markets in Africa, if you include Morocco. In 2014, we expect to continue our entry in specific markets belonging to integrated regions of Western Africa. It's the WAEMU, it's the Monetary Union of Western Africa, but also of Central Africa, through licenses, greenfield licenses, of branches of our main banks there. So we optimize, so that we optimize the capital allocation to these new countries. So we were given the license in Benin, in Western Africa, and we will enter this country in 2014. And we are expecting licenses in Equatorial Guinea and in Chad. We postponed a little bit our plans for Central Africa, because of the reasons that you can think of. But in parallel, so these are, I would say, low-cost entries into the rest of the territories of the integrated regions where we are present and that have very strong synergies with the rest of the footprint. But in parallel, we're studying new other opportunities in territories that are different from these, and in particular in Portuguese-speaking and English-speaking countries.
Thank you. Yes, and the final question was, where do you see the growth areas and the opportunities as well as the key challenges for operating within Sub-Saharan Africa?
Les zones de croissance en Afrique subsaharienne et les difficultés et les challenges.
Donc, comme certainement vous le suivez à travers les médias internationaux et les centres de recherche et les différents think tanks internationaux, nous sommes dans un mouvement où on passe d'un afro-pessimisme total à un afro-optimisme béat. Et nous considérons sincèrement que la vérité est entre les deux. L'Afrique est en train de se construire. Donc il faut rester extrêmement professionnel dans ses approches, extrêmement regardant dans l'évaluation des risques que nous prenons. Donc tous les territoires où nous avons investi, le Fonds monétaire international, la Banque mondiale, les institutions multilatérales prévoient des taux de croissance au-delà de 5%. Il y a même des pays qui vont inscrire, réaliser des croissances à deux chiffres, comme la Côte d'Ivoire. Donc, tous ces pays-là, dans lesquels nous avons investi, ils ont la caractéristique suivante, c'est qu'ils ont conforté la stabilité politique et sociale dans le cadre d'un processus démocratique qui se confirme. Les gouvernants ont pris conscience qu'ils doivent améliorer le doing business parce que c'est la seule manière de conforter l'investisseur national et d'attirer les investissements directs étrangers. Et c'est la seule manière de créer de l'emploi. Et troisième élément important, c'est qu'il y a une prise de conscience. Nous ne pouvons pas parler de croissance économique s'il n'y a pas une résorption notable du déficit en infrastructure. Donc, autant d'opportunités pour des groupes bancaires comme les nôtres, face à un taux de bancarisation extrêmement faible, et à une demande potentielle intéressante, c'est d'aborder, de déployer des plans de développement stratégique minutieusement étudiés, qui colle à la réalité socio-économique, aux besoins et aux attentes du pays, mais tout en sauvegardant, comme je l'ai dit, les critères d'une bonne gestion des risques. Parce que s'il y a quelque chose sur laquelle nous ne pouvons pas déroger, c'est une gestion rigoureuse au niveau des risques. Donc nous sommes vraiment optimistes, tout en étant réalistes, sur le potentiel de croissance de tous les actifs bancaires sur lesquels nous nous sommes positionnés et dans des pays qui sont très prometteurs. Alors, maintenant, même notre politique de diversification, et vous l'avez vécu avec nous, quand il y a eu l'annonce du printemps, la survenance du printemps arabe, donc les perturbations qui ont touché la Tunisie, un début de guerre civile en Côte d'Ivoire qui nous a obligé de fermer notre banque pendant 3 mois, nous avons démontré au marché, un, notre capacité de s'adapter très vite, d'être réactif pour prendre en charge des crises critiques importantes, mais aussi d'éviter un impact significatif sur nos réalisations. Et c'est ce qui donne de la pertinence à notre stratégie qui a consisté à accélérer le déploiement sur plusieurs territoires pour diversifier et éviter nos risques. Deuxième information importante, c'est que tous les actifs bancaires que nous avons acquis récemment ont bénéficié de chantiers de transformation. Parce qu'il a fallu prendre en charge ces banques, les mettre au standard du groupe Tijari Wafa Bank, de les basculer dans un système d'information unifié et cohérent, et d'engager des plans de développement. Donc je peux vous dire qu'aujourd'hui, ces banques ont été prises en charge, mises au niveau des standards du groupe Tijari Wafa Bank, basculer dans un global banking unifié pour l'ensemble de nos filiales africaines, et qu'aujourd'hui, ils sont en train d'accélérer leur développement tout en greffant des métiers à forte valeur ajoutée. Parce que, au-delà des activités intrinsèques de chaque banque dans son territoire pour développer les activités de banque de détail, aujourd'hui, la maison mère apporte son expertise qui a été accumulé pendant des années et des années au Maroc en matière de banque financement et d'investissement, de corporate finance, d'asset management, capital market en général, financement de projets, notamment les projets d'infrastructure, Tout ça est en train d'être apporté à nos filiales. Et la tournée de Sa Majesté qui a été effectuée il y a quelques semaines au niveau de quatre pays que sont le Mali, la Côte d'Ivoire, la Guinée-Conakry et le Gabon, et qui nous a permis de sceller des accords devant les chefs d'État qui ont porté sur 14 conventions, justement sont en train d'initier ce mouvement parce qu'on apporte notre expertise en tant que soit banquier conseil des gouvernements en matière de projets énergétiques, de projets d'infrastructures portuaires, de projets autoroutiers, pour apporter le conseil nécessaire, mettre en place les tours de table qu'il faut et mobiliser les financements internationaux et aussi les parts nationales pour accompagner la dynamique économique que connaît ces pays-là. Donc tout ceci augure vraiment d'un potentiel de développement d'activités pour nos filiales et une synergie intra-régionale extrêmement importante et conforte notre politique de diversification des activités.
I'll try to try as much as possible. I took note. I think first the idea is the world keeps on shifting from being very pessimistic about Africa to very optimistic and sometimes with no real reasons. Our belief is in between, meaning that we are very strict in selecting our entry options. We are also very strict in the valuations of our acquisitions, so that we progressively entered countries where, you know, IMF and World Bank all predict significant growth above 5% a year in the coming years, with even some countries like Côte d'Ivoire growing double digits. They are all countries where political stability has been improving, where all governments understood the importance of improving doing business in order to attract international investments and create additional jobs. They all understood that they needed to invest heavily in infrastructure. So in those environments, we find a low level of banking penetration, and we find a lot of demand for financial products. So we always base our entry around strategic development plans that include three main elements. One is being very professional and very rigorous on risk management. The second idea is diversification of our different holdings. And the third idea is transformation of our acquired targets. On diversification, we have proved right because we had to face several crises. One is the revolution in Tunisia following the Arab Spring. Another one is a civil war in Ivory Coast. A third one is in Mali, where the country was split in two for a long period of time. So we've proved very resilient to this kind of crisis, both because we are well diversified so that any impact on a particular year is absorbed by the growth of the rest of the footprint. And we also proved our adaptation or adaptability to manage each crisis in a different way and in an adapted way to the context, so that we don't destroy the goodwill and everything we built before the crisis, and this was particularly true in countries like Ivory Coast. Now, on transformation, we always run full transformation program on IT, on marketing, on distribution, on risk, on audit, so that we bring the acquired targets totally in line with our own internal norms. And we are now in almost all of our footprint in a situation where we can accelerate growth and add additional businesses to the existing base of mostly retail banking. So we're ready now to work on those geographies on themes like corporate and investment banking, on capital markets, on project finance, on asset management, etc., depending on the needs and the opportunity in each one of these markets. The recent trip that Mr. Ketani had with His Majesty King Mohammed VI to four countries in Mali, in Ivory Coast, in Guinea-Conakry, and in Gabon, has led our bank to sign 14 agreements with different governments in those countries in order to bring our expertise, both in advising governments in privatization, in infrastructure, but also in our capability to raise financing both locally and internationally. So those agreements will reinforce the synergies, the regional synergies that exist between all our different countries and between all our teams, and will increase also the high potential of growth in all these geographies.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jaap Meijer from Arqaam. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi, this is Jaap Meijer from Arqaam indeed. On capital, you did mention a lot of, you showed a slide on Basel III, and we haven't actually disclosed your capital ratios by year end, but could you provide us a preliminary forecast for the Basel III capital ratios, i.e., are we going to be seeing a hit because of the minority stakes that are sitting in your Tier 1? And also, could you share us, let's say, update us on the LCR? I think it will be below 100%. On asset quality, we did see a nice big pickup in net credit losses to about 71 basis points. Is this also, in your view, a sustainable level over the next few years, considering the worsening in the asset quality that we saw in the book? And finally, what explains the loss in market share in Morocco, because the lending book only grew 0.1% versus the market's growth of about 3%. Thanks.
Okay. So on Basel III, we don't share our projections on capital adequacy ratio. This is part of our discussions with our board. But what I can tell you is that there is no need for additional capital except the optimization of the different instruments. So what could happen is replacing part of our core Tier 1 by additional Tier 1, but it would just reinforce our capability to pay out dividends. And I think this is also partly reflected in the decision of our board to increase the dividend despite a flat year for the bank net income in Morocco, the statutory accounting. We had flat results, but still an increased dividend. And I think really this is the message. We don't project or we don't share with the market our projections, but we do them over 12 to 18 month period. So this is on this topic. On LCR, Morocco or Moroccan Central Bank has put a minimum of 60% for LCR, and all the simulations that we've been running with the Central Bank prove that we're above that limit. So we will comply. They also signal, but they haven't written it anywhere, that they will be raising progressively this limit, but they don't know exactly at which pace, because part of the reasoning there is that there are some macroeconomic conditions that need to be complied in order for the whole banking industry to be able to go beyond the 60% element. So they will go progressively until they reach the 100%, but probably not in any time soon. The only message again here is that we will fully comply with the LCR level at 60%, 60, for the year 2014. As for the increase in the cost of risk and the sustainability, we, of course, can't really say, but the only message is that we see a stabilization of the situation in Morocco. We are not in a situation where things are worsening in Morocco. I would almost say the opposite. And for the rest of the footprint, we don't... I mean, it's possible that we will incur higher cost of risk thanks to our policy. Because, as our chairman said, we are in a situation where we did the transformation, we completed the transformation of most of the targets, and now we need to accelerate a little bit our growth and accept a slightly higher cost of risk. Keep in mind also that this year, 2013, has been particularly good for cost of risk outside of Morocco thanks to the collection in Tunisia. So this will also be another factor of degradation. So on average, I would say stability, if not improvement in Morocco, and degradation, return to more normal levels in the rest of Africa, and even slightly edging slightly higher in the coming years. And finally, for the loss of market share, I'm not sure you compare the right figures, because in the banking activity in Morocco, I don't believe we lost market share. Or maybe Rachid Kitani, the CFO, can give us more precise figures.
Actually, our outstanding loans grew by 2.5% when the market grew by 3% year over year. So our loss of market share is only 15 or 20 basis points between December 2012 and December 2013.
Okay. Could I have a follow-up question?
Sure.
On the one-off effects, the share plan was 60 million, and the tax effects for insurance was 135 million. Am I correct in that?
L'impact de l'assurance, 135 million. It's 139 million for the insurance.
Yep.
And for the impact of the share ownership, it's
l'assurance entre 8 mois et 12 mois.
So the difference between the 8-month effect and the 12-month effect is 50 million dirham on net banking or on net income group share.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Malek Bodia from Bellevue Asset Management. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking time to answer the question. You mentioned your declining ROE trend, and at the same time you said you're looking to increase the ROE again. What's your strategy to achieve that? Hello?
Not frankly, of course it's our goal and our board's goal. The main strategy that we will be executing has to do with improving the leverage, improving the full usage of the new instruments that Basel III gave us in Morocco. But for the rest, we continue the focus on cost efficiency always. We have a department that cuts all the costs, and we build our budgets always with a zero base each year, etc. And we, of course, on cost of risk, we try to optimize our position, but it also depends on external factors. So things on which we have real immediate effects are stories around the capital structure and the leverage, and things around cost efficiency.
Okay. But in Morocco, you feel at the moment the environment is appropriate to increase the risk? Because what we've been seeing is a slowing down of credit, and now what we see increasingly is an increase of cost of risk and of non-performing loans. So when you mentioned increasing the leverage, over what time frame would you think that will happen?
Increasing the leverage doesn't mean increasing the assets. It's also decreasing the capital base for the same
asset.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Hichan Sabra from Argan Capital. Please go ahead with the question.
Yes, hi. Thank you for the presentation. I have one question regarding the Islamic subsidiaries. We heard recently that two other banks in Morocco... Hello? Oh, just one, because I don't hear anything anymore. Okay, sorry. We heard recently that two banks in Morocco are announcing plans to open Islamic subsidiaries. Could you just give us more color on what is your strategy regarding the Islamic subsidiaries, please? Thank you.
Par contre, vous le savez, à Tijari Wafa Bank, il y a un peu plus de deux années de cela, nous avons créé déjà notre filiale qui s'occupe de la distribution donc, de produits alternatifs, conformément à la réglementation de la Banque Centrale. Donc nous étions jusqu'à présent le seul établissement qui a soumis une demande dans ce sens, qui a construit un business model autour de ce que permet la circulaire de la Banque Centrale. Et nous suivons de très très près l'évolution donc du projet de loi qui est soumis maintenant au Parlement marocain concernant la refonte de la loi bancaire qui intègre les banques participatives, donc les banques islamiques. Et nos équipes de Dar Safa, de l'établissement spécialisé, aujourd'hui sont prêtes à élargir et à diversifier l'offre de notre établissement qui est déjà opérationnel et qui dispose déjà d'une dizaine d'agences dans les principales villes du Maroc, et nous avons un plan de développement pour tirer profit des opportunités qu'offrirait la régulation dans ce sens. Donc nous pensons que BMC et BCP ont fait cette annonce pour rattraper un retard à ce niveau-là.
Just to remind you that we have been the first and only one to invest ahead of time in that particular area, because even before there was any law for Islamic finance and there were only regulations on Islamic compliant products, we decided to create a subsidiary and dedicate it to those products with a different brand name, with a different network, and with a full offer of services or products and services to our clients. So in a sense, we are ahead of the curve. Now that there is a new law, that regulates Islamic banks, we are ready, the subsidiary, Dar Safa, is ready to enlarge its offering and apply for a specific banking license, Islamic banking license. We feel that the announcements by our competitors are just a way for them to catch up on us, and we don't feel particularly threatened by these announcements.
And do you see in this market a source of growth, given the slowdown in Morocco?
Sincèrement, on a fait des études de marché préliminaires déjà avant le lancement de l'établissement spécialisé. Il faut dire que les capacités d'intervention de notre établissement qui a été créé il y a deux ans étaient très limitées par la réglementation en vigueur, parce que nous avons des produits d'actifs, mais on n'avait pas des produits de passifs. On n'utilise que les fonds propres de l'établissement. Avec la loi qui va régir les banques participatives, cette loi va s'ouvrir sur les soukouks. Donc nous allons offrir au marché des produits de passifs et d'actifs. Et nous pensons qu'il y a une niche, ça va être une activité de niche, hein. Contrairement à ce que peuvent véhiculer certains organes de presse, nous pensons en toute sincérité que c'est un marché de niche. Ce n'est pas un marché qui va métamorphoser de manière structurelle l'activité de la banque conventionnelle.
We even before we applied for the specialized finance company license, we had run a market study that showed that it would remain a niche product. We don't expect this change in regulation to significantly change this conclusion. Now, it will give us more flexibility, in particularly on the liability side, because so far we had to engineer an Islamic compliant contract in order to provide liquidity to our subsidiary. Now we will have all the instruments available in order to run a full balance sheet of Islamic compliant products, but the conclusion is still the same. It will remain a niche product, contrary to what many think and say on the Moroccan market. At least this is our belief.
Okay,
thank you. There appears to be no further questions at this time. Please continue with any point you wish to raise. Thank you. There appear to be no questions at this time. Please continue.
So I think we need to thank you.
Thank you very much for your support.
And thank you also to EFG Hermes for organizing this conference call. And we'll talk probably soon in one of the one-on-one meetings or in another. We are always at your disposal, and in particular, Mrs. Ibtissam Abu Haria, our VP of Investor Relations, she will collect the questions and answer them in the most precise possible way. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. This does conclude the Ati Jawi Wafa Bank FY 2013 Results Conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.